Author of the Week, featuring another great creator of narratives for the human race on Southside Broadcasting and Siren Radio.
Author of the Week continues ever onwards with a relatively new author, but nonetheless a highly successful one, somebody who's specialized in bringing women's fiction stories to life, tapping into the hopes and sometimes fears of readers. A debut novel, of course, between February and November, already gathering plaudits, so a whole range of wonderful things there, placed in the top 10 in Notebook Publishing's hashtag Indie April contest. And so we're absolutely delighted to be able to welcome to our Author of the Week feature, of course, the wonderful Patty Lee. How are you, Patty?
I'm great. How are you today? First, thank you so much for having me. I super appreciate it. So nice to be here. How are you?
It's a genuine delight, and we're okay. We're ticking over on the other side of the pond, so to speak, from that point of view. But let's talk a little bit about this particular novel, because obviously we're going to be working through that whole process between February and November. Share with us what's it all about. How does it connect with the grand narrative, and so on?
So the name of the book is Between February and November, and it's a women's fiction novel. It's about a married couple, and the wife, her name is Layla. She happens upon her husband and another woman in two towns away, and she subsequently followed them to a hotel. And I don't want to say, I mean, she had a moment, and then the book unfolds from there. It kind of delves a little deeper into the challenges in a marriage, and especially in a long-term marriage, the things that could happen, and kind of brings us to where her husband Alan is and where Layla is. And there's also some commentary from the other woman as well. Her name is Mel.
All narratives have different points of view, different angles. We can go back to the Bronte sisters, to other writings of the time and so on. And there is that perception. Did you want to actually give that omniscient view to the whole piece, or was it just a case of, no, you wanted to actually sort of let the reader make their own decision?
So it's told through a first person point of view, but it's multi-person point of view. So each character has their own chapter. So chapter one is Layla, and chapter two is Alan, and then it goes from there. And then Mel has a few chapters here and there as well. So it's first person narrative.
Excellent. Now, I'm not going to go through the geographical sort of notions between Vermont, Dublin, and North Carolina, but we do have, originally from North Carolina, currently based in Dublin, Jessica Burtis with us. Jessica, any questions you want to put to Patty?
Yeah, I would love to know kind of how you got into working with contemporary literature, and when did you start writing?
Hi, Jessica. It's so nice to meet you.
You too.
Thank you. I started writing in February of 2019. So I am I call myself a new old writer. I'd always journaled, and when you write down your thoughts and you get these ideas, and for me, journaling was a process where I just process things that were happening in my life, or, just thoughts that sometimes you just have to get down. And I actually, a few years ago, I wrote not a memoir, but I jotted down some things about my own life. And I thought to myself, this could be like a creative nonfiction piece or a memoir or an autobiography. But really, I'm a nobody, so nobody wants to hear my story. But then I thought to myself, and especially that February day, I said I'm just going to start writing, and that's what I did. And I wrote super super early in the morning. I have a regular day job, and I just, whenever I have time or whenever I had time, I just if I could steal 5 minutes, and if I could write down even 15 words, then that's what I did. And it was especially difficult trying to write. And if you get a thought when you're writing and you're not in front of your laptop or your computer, I literally have notebooks everywhere. And so I just jot down the thoughts that I had, or I would put it in my phone. And then it's a matter of, at the end of the week, trying to pull all these notes together and figure out what I was talking about to myself.
How do you find your writing process usually happens once you've written the rough draft? Do you think that editing is more difficult for you, or is it kind of like that writing process is very hard for you?
You know what? So for me, I think the editing process is the worst, because, so that first draft, you just kind of like get everything out, and it's it doesn't make as much sense as you think it does until you go back and read it and you're like, what was I even thinking when I was writing this? And so you have to go back and you have to, try to look at it from somebody else's point of view who doesn't have all the information that you have in your head. So that and then you that's a good way to flesh things out. So for me, writing is the easy part. It's definitely the revising that's the hard part. And then even harder still is when you send it to the editor and then the editor sends it back and they say, what's going on here? And especially with the comments on the side that you, then I then have to make these decisions about do I want to not necessarily not take their advice, but how much weight do I want to give that? And often I consider it, and it's I most of the time listen to the editor because they know what they're doing. But sometimes I just go off on my own because I think this is what I wanted to do and this is how I wanted it to be.
I believe from our researchers, Patty, you're quite a fan of Josh Ritter. Is that the case?
I am. I love Josh Ritter. I super love him. I know he's really big over in London and in Scotland, Ireland, all that.
Well, I was just wondering, as we take a short musical break to start off with, would Josh Ritter's Getting Ready to Get pass muster with yourself?
Getting ready to get down? Yes, that's an awesome song.
Mama got a look at you and got a little worried. Papa got a look at you and got a little worried. The pastor got a look and said, y'all had better hurry. Send her off to a little Bible college in Missouri. And now you come back saying you know a little bit about every little thing they ever hoped you'd never figure out. Eve ate the apple cause the apple was sweet. Kind of God would ever keep a girl from getting what she needs. And I'm getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. Now people cross the street when you walk in their direction. Talk between the teeth and throwing epithets. And the doctor thinks the devil must have got you by your senses. But to live the way you please doesn't sound like possession. It's 4 long years studying the Bible. Infidels, Jezebel, Salomas and Delilahs. Back off the bus in your own hometown. Say you didn't like me then, you probably won't like me now. But I'm getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. All the men of the country club, the ladies of the Zillow are talking about love like it's apple pie and liberty. To really be a saint, you gotta really be a virgin, dry as a page of the King James Version. No la las, no hell yeses, no I can't wait. So gotta see you again, says turn the other cheek, take no chances. Jesus hates your high school dances. So they sent you off to Bible school. You learned a little more than they had heard was in the golden rule. Be good to everybody, be a strength to the weak, be a joy to the joyful, be the laughter and the grief. And give your love freely to whoever that you please. Don't let nobody tell you about the who you ought to be. And when you get damned in the popular opinion, it's just another damn of the damns you're not giving. And I'm getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. Mama got a look at you and got a little worried. Papa got a look at you and got a little worried. The pastor got a look and said, y'all had better hurry. Send her off to a little Bible college in Missouri. And now you come back saying you know a little bit about every little thing they ever hoped you'd never figure out. The Red Sea, the Dead Sea, the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to see a miracle, watch me get down now. Getting ready to get down. 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 Getting ready to get down.
I love Josh Ritter.
You're listening to Author of the Week of course, our ace author this week being the fabulous Patty Lee. We just heard some Josh Ritter. We've got more musical choices from Patty possibly coming up, which might involve, Patty, I'll just give you a little heads up on this, choosing between Hamilton the musical and Parsons Field. So it could be a challenge, but you have to make a choice between those two. We'll just have to wait and see. Is it true that you're also a keen acrylic painter?
I wouldn't say keen acrylic painter. I dabble a little. There's one behind me over here, that white one. Like, I dabble a little bit. My mom was a painter. She went to school and she did some painting, and then she had kids, and then, you know, she didn't paint again until she retired. People, I think creatives need an outlet. And so I tried doing that with the acrylic painting, and I still do occasionally. I don't do it nearly as much as since I started writing. I don't paint nearly as much as I used to.
You haven't tried doing both together simultaneously though?
No. I'm not coordinated enough to write with one hand and paint with another. I am one of those people that I cannot do two things at once. I cannot, if I'm ever in a meeting, you guys know I'm listening to the meeting, because I cannot look at something else. And I have to do one thing at a time, one thing at a time, for sure.
Well, that's certainly doing for the old traditional gender stereotype that women can multitask and men can't. But there we are, just a different line.
Not this woman. I'm sure someone, I have my supervisor at work. She needs to be doing something else because it engages her brain in a different way. I am just not one of those people.
Jessica.
Yeah, I'm actually really curious about where you get your ideas from.
Do you know what? So between February and November started out as a lighthearted look at a long-term marriage. And I don't even know where the idea came from, to be honest. It just was like, I think probably from my own life, like, you know, the little things that happen. I myself have been married over 30 years. And so, you know, when you're married for that long, and, you know, little things get to be big things. And I think that's important to note, because that happens in between February and November as well. But then going through the process of writing it, and I don't know if either one of you are writers or how much you know about, you know, writing in general, but for characters, they just take over and they just decide. And that's what happened in between February and November. You know, like I said, started writing it as a lighthearted, you know, look at marriage, and it really took a U-turn, not even a U-turn, like a side turn. And it just came to be a little more dramatic. So I'm working on another book right now. And so this book, I'm trying to keep my characters in line and keep it more of the lighthearted feel. So hopefully that will work out. So I think ideas come generally from anywhere. I think any fiction writer, I believe there's a nugget of truth in any fiction writer, whether it's their own truth or something that they saw one day or something that they heard one day. I think all that stuff is always filed away, and, you know, you just use it for later. I love sitting in like a coffee shop, or, you know, going to the mall or a store. And I'm not that I eavesdrop. I'm not like a nosy Nelly, but, you know, sometimes you can't help it because somebody's on their phone and they're talking, or, you know, you just happen to overhear things, and just little stuff like that. You just put in the back of your mind, and I'm just like, all right, well, I'm going to save that for that bar scene later.
And do you let your family and your friends kind of read your books before they actually get published, or is it very secretive?
Oh my gosh, no. I let friends and family read my book. So my husband is very supportive, and he does not read women's fiction. That is not his genre. He's like Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones, you know, and that kind of thing. But he read my book and he was impressed. And I was just like, okay, well, he's my husband. Of course he's going to be impressed, right? Like he has to be because we're married. But I do have some friends that I let read the book. And for me, it's important. And I believe my friends would be honest with me. And I believe that they have been honest with me, because, you know, there were a few of them that said, hey, listen, this doesn't make sense. Or I think you should change this, because this, I don't think this character would really do that. And there was a couple of things that I did change. But I do let my friends and family read the book. And I really like their feedback, because again, it's honest, and it's also, it's critical.
I believe, at least from your website, you're quite a keen follower of felines, or rather, cats like to follow you. So, is this the case? And what sort of led you down the feline route as opposed to, I don't know, dogs or hamsters?
Well, I mean, I have four cats and I've just always loved cats. I actually have two dogs too. So, I mean, I'm just basically an animal lover. But cats are just they I'm they're like my spirit animal. I don't know. But the interesting thing is I'm allergic to cats. So like I literally, and this is silly, I had like a cat brush here because I can't pet them without, like, if I pet them, I have to go wash my hands right away. But then they're all the time on my desk and in my office and like in my face. They're just so cute and cuddly and sweet, and they're so funny, and they gave me the feels. Cats, man. Cats. I have four cats. I have Pablo is my favorite, and then little Mama, who was a stray, who decided she was gonna come live at my house, and I couldn't say no. I mean, how do you say no to a cat that sits in your front yard and meows at you, right? So, and then she was in my front yard, and then for a few days she came, and then one day she came and she had a kitten with her, and I says, oh my gosh. So I ended up getting two cats that day. And then I have another cat named Cece, and she's been with me for about 14 years. So,
What was the kitten's name?
the kitten, I named him Wink.
Oh, that is the cutest name.
Yeah, he is very sweet. He's not a kitten anymore. This was about 7 years ago. So, it's funny, my husband keeps, he likes to rescue things, my husband does, and he doesn't like cats. I'm sorry. I need to clarify. He says he doesn't like cats, but really he does like cats because like he brings me cats. Like Pablo, he just brought home one day because he was like, I thought you would like this cat. I was like, thank you. Sorry.
It's going through the whole sort of system because cats, of course, when they like to show affection, they occasionally bring in, I don't know, a wild bird, a mouse, a field vole, or something. Obviously, it's husband's trained in the same sort of manner, clearly.
Yes, cat, but my husband, though, again, not a cat lover, but he loves me, so he built my cats a catio because my cats do not go outside because I don't want them getting lost or hit by a car or anything. So I have an outside enclosure for them, and so they actually get to spend some time outside and whenever they want, like they have a little pet door there. But they do bring in chipmunks and stuff like that, which is not pleasant for this person because I love
Or indeed
animals.
the chipmunk, basically.
No, very true. Not pleasant for the chipmunk
Yeah,
either.
yeah. Okay, let's move on to that musical challenge. And as we said, we're going to offer you two choices this time around, Patty. We can either give you from the musical Hamilton, My Shot, or from Parsons Field, we can go Weeds or Wildflowers. Which one would you like to
Weeds are
go?
wildflowers. I'm way ahead of you. Weeds are wildflowers.
Came along to find a little peace of mind, neglecting all my duties, stepping off that straight line. Now I just sit on my front door, filled with indolence and sounds. It's like I'm watching the weeds grow on my brow, and I had a pure potential.
Okay, there we are, Parsons Field. And what is it about Parsons Field that in particular appeals to you, Patty? Because they're a band that maybe not many people have actually encountered before. Why do you feel as though, yeah, this is a good group?
Well, you know what? Their music is relatable to me, and they are, well, they're local too. So I live in Vermont. I grew up in Connecticut, and I believe the band is either from, I think it's from Boston, and their music to me is, like I said, very relatable, very catchy. I just love their music so much, and their lyrics are amazing, and they've got kind of like a folky, I want to say like a banjo sound almost. It's really good. If you like that kind of music. I think even if you don't like that music, you would love Parsons Field. So if you haven't listened to Parsons Field, you should totally listen to Parsons Field.
Well, there we are. And we might hear another Parsons Field number before the end of this particular program, or perhaps at the end. So what was it about the musical Hamilton that kind of led you to put that onto repeat? And was that actually being played whilst you were writing between February and November? Or was it just a case of, no, you used it as an inspiration?
I am not one that uses music when I write. Cause again, the way that my brain works, I cannot do two things at once. Like if someone is talking to me and I'm typing, I'm going to end up typing what they're saying. That's just, so if I've got Hamilton on, then I'm typing, you know, Hamilton, you know, that's just not, it just wouldn't work for me. Hamilton was big, and I have three grandkids, and one of my grandkids, his name is Noah, and he was about five, and he just loved the musical, the soundtrack. And so we would just listen to it. And the thing about Hamilton is, for me anyway, you have to listen to it from start to finish. Like you can't, for me, can't start the middle of the soundtrack. You have to start from the top and end at the bottom, at the last track.
So chronological order is absolutely essential. Don't go postmodern on Hamilton, otherwise you'd be very confused.
You will be, because especially the way that it's set up, like they start a song and I'm like, what's happening? You have to start it at the beginning.
Between February and November, of course, placed in the top 10 in Notebook Publishing's hashtag Indie 8 Book Contest, as we mentioned earlier. But it also took first place in the 2022 Firebird Book Awards fiction category. That must make you feel quite happy, given that it's your debut novel, to actually sort of already start by picking up the awards from that point of view. There are some writers who can do their entire career without getting one award.
Well, you know what? I carry a fair bit of imposter syndrome. So when they told me that I took first place in that Firebird Book Award, the first thing I thought to myself was nobody else entered. Nobody else put a book in there. I had to be better about giving myself credit in that way, especially now that the book is published and and I have it in my hand and I can really talk about it. It is very exciting, and it's very, you know, to win an award for your first novel and for your first novel to be published also is overwhelming, and it's exciting, and it's really unbelievable for someone like me. Like I don't have an MFA. I didn't go to school for writing. I only started writing in 2019, you know, seriously. And it's been such a ride, and it's just been such an interesting, fun ride, a few bumps here and there, but ultimately, I mean, very fun and very exciting and fulfilling. So fulfilling right now. Ask me again next year. I don't know.
You might be an acrylic painter then. You know, you might be an award-winning acrylic painter as well at that stage. So it could be a different focus. You mentioned you started in 2019. We've got to ask the question, therefore, Patty, did the pandemic help or hinder?
You know, I work from home, and I've worked from home since 2012. So I've always worked from home. So I've always had that time where I can just, if I have, you know, if I'm taking a break, I can do what I need to or want to do on a break. I'm not sure the pandemic helped, actually, because my husband then worked from home for a part of the time. And so my routine was kind of upset. He was very respectful, though, of my time and my regular schedule, because I am one of those people, I have a schedule and I do this at this time and I do this at this time. And so he was very respectful. He ended up doing, you know, making his office kind of downstairs so that I still had, you know, my flow and I was able to still continue to work the way that I was used to working. I feel like the pandemic, I don't want to say it was inspiring, but I do feel like it did give people some room for their own creativity for during the pandemic.
We live in an era where technology is very much to the fore. The way we're doing this interview, pre-pandemic, it would have been a phone studio link. It would have been a different approach that we'd taken from that point of view, as opposed to a visual medium, Zoom call that we can use to obviously put on Facebook and all the other sites, the Instagrams and so on and so forth. Does that also kind of add to the stresses of being an author? Do you think, oh, I've got to get the website done, I've got to get my TikTok video out, I've got to do this and so on? Or is it just a case of, oh, whatever, I'll just choose to do one thing and one thing only and focus on the writing?
I don't think I ever have an attitude of, oh, whatever, I have to say. I do. I have so much to do. And you don't realize as a writer, you really don't realize how much goes into it once you want to get your story out there and published and for people to see it. Because you do need a website. You do need to be on social media. I'm not a big social media person. I'm more of a private person. So this is, doing interviews like this and talking about the book and getting, having people get to know me a little bit is really outside of my comfort zone. But speaking, I mean, really, you reminded me that I have a lot of work to do on my website. I
It's
definitely have to update it.
all good. It's provided us with some useful background information for this, so that's all good. We've done a bit of research, so that's nice. Obviously the Connecticut individual is slightly private at the best of times. So, we work on that system. You go back to a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. He was quite private. He just sort of fell asleep and Mark Twain sent him to a different time zone entirely. Jessica, I'm going to turn to your good self. Obviously, you're doing your MA in children's literature at Dublin and the wonderful work there. Would you like to throw the questions regarding nutrition, particularly regarding the Southern state fondness for sweet tea, to Patty? Because I'm not sure, being originally from Connecticut, now being based in Vermont, I'm not sure where she's going to go on this particular thing, whether indeed she's ever heard of the North Carolina delicacy. So, Jessica, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so we kind of have a habit of asking our guests if they enjoy sweet tea. And I'm curious, Patty, if you like sweet tea.
I don't think I've ever had like bona fide Southern sweet tea. I will say that I do not put sugar in my tea or my coffee. So my guess is if I had a sip of Southern sweet tea, I would be like sugar, like I would get a wicked sugar rush.
Yes.
What about you, Jessica? Are you a or do you love a sweet tea?
It would be heresy not to in the Carolinas. It's standard. If you ask for sweet tea, like no one asks for unsweetened tea, the crazy people do. So you should try some. I'm trying to convert the world.
It's
All
worth
right.
noting, Patty, that when you're on a book signing tour, you go to North Carolina and they offer you some sweet tea. You've obviously got to be diplomatic about this whole situation. So it's heads up from that point of view.
I promise if I ever make it to North Carolina or down south anywhere, and if I order sweet tea, I'm getting it like sweet tea, like give it to me straight. Sweet tea,
Yes.
straight up.
As much sugar as possible.
I mean, if it's not the sweet tea, I think the other one we've been exploring is boiled peanuts. Is that right,
Oh, yeah.
Jessica?
Yep, boiled peanuts. Have you ever had those?
I don't think so because I don't know what they are. What is a boiled peanut?
It is just a peanut that is boiled with salt, and they're raw peanuts, and they are one of the best snacks ever. And I wish it was more common over here in Ireland too, because everyone is very confused and a little scared when I try to tell them about boiled peanuts. But they're excellent. They're one of the best comfort foods.
Are they boiled like in their shell? And then you like how do you boil
Yeah,
them?
and then when you open them, you take the shell off, and they're very soft and salty and just wonderful in every way.
I'm gonna have to take note of that and try it sometime. I've never heard of a boiled peanut.
You should. Now
Wow.
you can write a book in the South, and you can have some like Southern culture in
Well, this is so helpful. I'm gonna like take notes and write it down. Sweet tea has to be sweet. Boiled peanuts if you're gonna have peanuts.
And this is one of the reasons why I know you just had the midterm elections over in the States. So clearly, from that point of view, we like to ensure that, we're helping each state understand other states a little bit better, really, from that point of view. Because clearly, with all the mass media you got in the United States, the boiled peanut line still hasn't actually reached the northern states as yet. So it's important, I think.
But Vermont has to be absolutely beautiful right now with the trees, now that it's November.
Yeah, so we had peak probably a couple of weeks ago, and we really had a lot more color than we expected, or at least than I expected. It was really gorgeous. And believe it or not, right now it is 65 degrees here in Vermont, which is really unusual. It's, November 11th, and it's 65 degrees, and it's been so sunny and warm. Today it's a little cloudy, but yeah. So the trees have lost their leaves a little bit. But we did have some gorgeous, gorgeous colors. I took some pictures and posted them on Twitter, maybe a couple weeks ago, just to share a little bit of Vermont. I had some deer in my backyard too. I took some pictures of those and posted
Oh.
them. I love, we had a bear too a few weeks ago. We had a bear. Yeah. This is why I don't go outside.
What did he do? What was he doing? He wanted to read your book.
It's like, hey, I heard somebody
Who's
lives
a
here. They write a
customer,
book.
Patty? A customer, you know?
Right. Somebody read my book. No, my husband, he put out, he had taken out the bird feeders, and he refilled the bird feeder, and he didn't expect the bear to still be active, I guess. And he had this, we have this very tall, I think it's a shepherd's hook bird feeder. So it's tall, it just stands by itself in the front yard, and the whole bird feeder was like bent down to the bottom and the onto the ground, and then the little square suet holders, little metal suet holder, was like 10 feet away from the bird feeder. Yeah, so I mean, I didn't personally see the bear because I was like, maybe that was a deer, and he just looked at me. He was like, a deer did not do that. This was a bear. And I was like, this is why I don't go outside.
Yeah. I mean, it is important to know the difference between a bear and a deer. I mean, I would have thought it's a fundamental kind of line of good kind of life in the countryside. We've actually just bought up as a backdrop, which hopefully Jessica might recognize because you sent me this photograph I think a year or so
Yes,
ago. This is your backdrop in North Carolina, I believe.
yeah, that's from home. I saw that pop up on your screen and I was like, whoa, that looks familiar. And then I was like, oh wait, I took that.
Oh, that was your picture, Jessica?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
That's
back
beautiful.
home last November.
Oh, wow. And where in North Carolina is that?
In Charlotte, it's like the very, very southern tip. It's like 5 minutes from the South Carolina border, so very close.
Nice. So do you guys get like, I don't know very much about North Carolina. Do you guys get like your the seasons there or not so much? Like, do you get to
We
experience like
do.
snow?
Yeah, we do. We don't get snow quite as much. We get a little bit, or about probably the same as they do here in Ireland. Not very much, but occasional snows. It's a lot different in the mountains in North Carolina. We'll get 2 feet of snow, and the trees are just gorgeous all down the mountains. Where I am, we get the seasons, but it's not as extreme as it would be up north, especially with the winter. But it's not as neutral as the weather is in Ireland or England.
Can I ask Jessica, how did you end up in Ireland?
I did study abroad here for a while, and then I also went over to Lincoln, which is how I started on the radio. And then I'm doing my master's now in Dublin.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
It's
That's
all
wonderful.
good. And when Jessica Burtis writes the greatest American novel, apart from obviously yourself, Patty, obviously we'll be there from that perspective. In terms of keeping in touch with the good self, obviously pattyleewriter.com is a good website to actually start off with. I gather that you're also located on Twitter and Instagram.
Am, yes. And I actually have a, this I said, I have to update my website. I do have a Facebook now for Patty Lee Author. So if we can find, you can find me there as well. I'm very active on Twitter. I'm most active on Twitter. I'm a member of the 5 a.m. Writers Club. So that means I get up usually before 5 a.m. and that's the best time for me to write. And so I check in with other tweeters. Is that what we call them? I don't even know. Check in with other people on Twitter. And we just kind of support each other on Twitter from five to
So,
seven.
I've got to ask the question then. Any thoughts on Elon Musk, the new owner of Twitter?
I'm reserving my judgment on that. I'm hoping that it does. I mean, it's already caused a bit of an upheaval on Twitter. There's a lot of people that are just saying
A
that
lot
they're
of the
not going to.
employees have been sacked, but what the hey? That's obviously natural redundancy, natural wastage. What?
I can't.
Not very
I'm hoping.
social is all I'm saying. Not very social from Elon,
No.
really. I mean, honestly.
No. And I mean, I'm hoping that it works out well. I really am that hoping that whatever wrinkles need to get ironed out, get ironed out. And again, I'm not the most social person, and Twitter is where I'm most active, and that's where I have most of my followers. I have like 6,000 followers on Twitter, which is very exciting. But if I can't interact with them, then I'm gonna have to find another way. And it's so hard. Change is hard. Change is hard.
Well, you can always retweet this with us because our handle for Twitter is at Southside Broad Sea. So that's at Southside Broad Sea. Well, it'll all come together. It's automatically tweeted when the podcast goes up fairly shortly. Reminder, of course, that you can still obviously purchase between February and November. Just one little question, Patty. Obviously, you wrote the short story, The Ward House. Many writers actually tend to prefer either writing the short story or the novel. Do you have a preference, or is it a case of when I have to write and the muses are with me, I have to write?
I am not one. I am not a short story writer. I am one of those people that have to write a novel. But I will suggest to any writer trying to make a name for themselves or get themselves out there, if you have an opportunity to submit to an anthology and they accept your work, I definitely try it, because it does kind of get your feet wet, kind of get your foot in the door. And especially if you're querying an agent or a publisher, you have that they can look back on and say yes, that they do have some work out there. But I would much prefer a novel. Short stories, you wouldn't realize, like I wouldn't realize how hard it is to do a short story. You've got 5,000 words, and you have to, have the story start, have a middle, and have an ending. And it's such a short, condensed thing. And I have a tendency, my husband says, I have a tendency, my short stories are long. I don't do short stories well. Like I can't even say one thing about something. It'll take somebody 30 seconds, and I'm a minute and a half later. This is a perfect example. I can just keep going about the same thing.
In which case, the novella would seem to be a nice bridge between the two. Not as long as the novel, not a lot longer than a short story. Go for the novella.
I tried that, and nobody wants to buy a novella, so.
There you are. All right. Well, it's brought us around to three final questions, actually. The first one actually is our final musical one, and I take it, given your fondness for this alt folk group, you'll be happy if we actually have another Parsons Field number, and probably right now is the one we've got lined up for you. Is that okay?
Yes, that's great.
Excellent. So that's brought us around to two of the final critical questions. Jessica, would you like to ask the first one to Patty, please?
Yes, I would love to. Patty, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
I have. This is my first like real one. I have to say, not that my other ones weren't real, but this is a different experience for me. This is actually my first Zoom one, and that's the yeah. So and it has been fun, and I was really nervous about it. Might have felt a little sick beforehand, but it was really, really painless. It was really good. Again, I'm not a social person. I'm really out of my comfort zone, and I really appreciate you guys being so kind and nice with me. Thank you.
Well,
Of
we
course.
don't bite, or at least if we
No.
do, it doesn't leave any mark. So there we are.
No, because you're so far away, so.
Yeah, there you go. Jessica's closer, of course. Dublin is closer to Vermont than Lincoln, but there we are. So the next and final question is, can we prevail upon you to return? Will you come back sometime and share with us more musings from Vermont?
Love to do that. I would love to do that. Anytime you guys want to have me back, I would love to come back, and hopefully I'll have some interesting stories to share.
Patty Lee, author extraordinaire, huge thanks. And perhaps actually, as you're a big fan of Parsons Field, you'd like to introduce the next number we're about to actually hear to wrap up this particular feature of Author of the Week. Of course, it's Parsons Field with Right Now.
So how do I do that? Do I just say it's Parsons Field with Right Now? I don't have to sing the song, do I?
Burning low, that's all she wrote. Ain't no need to shed a tear. If you throw a couple stones up on a freight train passing through, ain't no telling what kind of sights they may see. We got right now.
when your leaves begin to change and weariness surrounds you like a wall. The darkness may bring a very unexpected thing, just as there are apples in the fall.